ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ॐ ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पद आनशृण्वन्नोतिभिस्सीदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः. लेट अस डू अवर ब्रह्मानन्दम् ब्रह्मानन्दम् परमसुखदं शान्ते शान्ते शान्तिः
शान्ति शान्तिः.
பரவாயில்லதா இப்போ மச் பெட்டர் தேன் தி ஃபர்ஸ்ட் கிளாஸ். Now it's easier, isn't it? Ellame apdha. Always when you see that for the first time it sounds difficult. Second time is okay. Third time is okay. Fourth time nothing. You can all chant it. I want you all to remember this word purushartha. So purushartha means what? Human pursuit which is sought after by every human being. And you know, we have four purusharthas. I'm not going to explain again. Go back and then read your introduction to Vedanta Club text notes or refer your other introduction to Vedanta Bhagavad Gita books. You know what is arthaha, what is kamaha, what is dharmaha, what is mokshaha. And I told you very, very well, because many people who've been talking, so-called spiritual people, are to claim themselves to be spiritual, who've been giving discourse and all other things, they always say moksha is the only end, other ends you don't need. That's also wrong. Arthaha, kamaha, dharmaha, mokshaha, all are equally important. That's why it's called artha. Artha means that which is definitely sought after by a human being. Arthaha, one has to pursue artha. One has to pursue dharma, kamaha, pleasures. One needs to live a life of dharma, definitely. And definitely moksha also is pursued. That means what? Mokshaha, but one has to distinguish of all the four, what is the ultimate. Okay? Because pursuit of artha, pursuit of kama, pursuit of dharma, all pursuits are very important. But what is the ultimate? Through all these pursuits, what is that one really seeks in life is mokshaha, freedom from sorrow, which means happiness. Means sorrowlessness. Sorrowlessness means what? Freedom from all sorts of problems. While living, not after death. Okay? While living in this life. Therefore, moksha is there, and then mokshaha is a choiceless goal. It's a choiceless end. One day or the other, I had to attain that moksha. And this purushartha must be very clear. And what artha, we need to pursue artha. See, this artha, kama, dharma, these three together are known as prayers, and they can be accomplished, achieved by doing some karma or the other. To pursue artha, to accomplish artha, you have to work. You have to do lot of karma, lot of activities. And to have pleasures also, you have to work. And living a life of dharma also implies doing lot of activities. But mokshaha does not depend upon any action at all. Okay, mokshaha means freedom from all limitations and all problems. Okay, freedom from dependence, in fact, emotional dependence, emotional leaning is the freedom. That means happiness. So happiness is something to be known, understood, discovered. And that's why happiness, to understand what happiness is, understanding, discovering what happiness is what? Attaining moksha. That doesn't require any doing any karma. And for that mokshaha, to discover what moksha is, one needs to know what the reality is. I told you this earlier. Because mokshaha, happiness, mokshaha is equal to happiness. Happiness is the nature of the reality. They are not two different things. Therefore, knowing the reality is knowing what happiness is. Therefore, one has to know what the reality is. And the reality is available for recognition only as the self, not as an external object. Reality of the entire universe can never be known as an object of knowledge. Reality of the entire universe, the self of the universe, is available for recognition, understanding as only as one's own self, the subject of knowledge. Therefore, it is to be known, and to know that self, to know the reality as the self, one needs a means of knowledge, which is the Shastram, and that Shastram one has to study with the teacher who knows the Sampradaya, the traditional method of unfoldment. And even if the teacher is available, Shastram is available, knowledge is available, one has to be qualified for that Jnanam. And for that one needs what? Antahkarana Shuddhihi and Antahkarana Naishchalyam. And to have Antahkarana Shuddhihi and Naishchalyam, the only way is what? One has to live a life of Karma Yoga. And what is living a life of Karma Yoga? I told you briefly here, but still I'll be talking to you again in detail in the few following classes. You don't worry about it. And therefore, by living a life of Karma Yoga, one can prepare oneself for Jnanam. One can have Antahkarana Shuddhi and Naishchalyam. Thereby one can become qualified for Jnanam. One can gain the knowledge of the self and that become free from limitations. And we were seeing how Shastram helps us, how Shastram serves as means of knowledge of the self. And the Shastram uses very, very special methods. And the first said, Shastram helps you first to negate what the self is not by making us understand what the self is not. Thereby, Shastram helps us understand what the self is. This we have to remember always. Shastram first helps us understand what the self is not, in order to arrive at understand what the self is. And for that is how Shastram helps us first distinguish the self from everything which is not the self. And Shastram uses two technical words here. One word is anatma and other word is atma. That which is negated as not the self, non-self, is what? Anatma. So, what is anatma? Anything which is available for knowing as an object of knowledge is what? Anatma. Why? Self is what? The subject of knowledge. The knower, the observer, the experiencer, subject. Self is the subject of knowledge. And anything known is an object of knowledge. Therefore, anything known is negated as an object of knowledge. And anything is negated as an object of knowledge is anatma. Like that, it starts with what? Anything external to the physical body, which is known through any of the five different senses, is what? Definitely is an object of knowledge. In fact, the whole prapanchaha is understood only what can be reduced to the world of five different objects. There's no sixth object. You know, either you see and know, or you hear and know, smell and know, taste and know, touch and know. Therefore, all the five different objects external to the body, which are perceived through five different senses, are the objects of perception. Definitely, they are all not mistaken for the knower. We know they're all, the knower is definitely different from the known external objects. But where the problem begins from the body. Okay, therefore, and this body also as good as an object external to the body. Why? Because I told you anything which can be indicated by any pronoun other than first person singular pronoun is an object of knowledge. Therefore, we said idam shariram, this body. We can say this body, and so for first we did. Therefore, this body is known as this body. It is known to me. Therefore, I, the knower, the subject, am not the gross physical body. This is the first, we call it gross body. And this gross body is what? So gross, when you say, it is tangible, visible, perceptible, not only for me, and all our physical bodies are perceptible for all of us. Therefore, this is an object of knowledge. Definitely, the body is what? Body is negated as anatma, the non-self. Thereafter, we saw, after the gross body, we were talking about the subtle body, sukshma shariram. After negating the sthula shariram as an object of knowledge, we were discussing about the sukshma shariram. And I said, the sukshma shariram consists of 16 factors. Some people say it consists of 19 factors. Some people will say it consists of 17 factors. Don't get confused. Let us stop with 16 factors. Understand? And of 16 factors together constitute the subtle body. And we have to remember very well, when I say subtle body, why do I use the word subtle? Because it has to be differentiated from the gross one. When I say subtle, gross means perceptible. Purappaduvathu, pulungalukku pulappaduvathu is perceptible. Whereas subtle, when I say, it is imperceptible. That which cannot be perceived through any sense organ is what? Imperceptible. That is why it is called subtle. But subtle body is, even though we use the word body, it is doesn't have a form. I told, because many people have all these wrong ideas have to go away. Because reading, people come read, why I have to tell you all these things? Don't mistake me for wasting all time on all these things. When people come to me in England, many people come to me where I go here and there, see people, they come to me. They've been reading lot of books out of curiosity, out of the urge for knowledge. They've been reading lot of books and they have lot of wrong understanding. All the wrong books they stumble upon also. No? And they all think subtle body means something like which is smoky, which looks like some smoky form. No, and they also bring, see, this is a book. One person brought me, why I am talking to you about this now, one person brought me a book saying, Swaminiji, this is a book, Life After Death. Excellent, fantastic book. See this, they have taken the photograph of many astral bodies. I said, come, and all smoky figures there. Okay, and then no, can't see any feet. For me, it's like a white frock wearing, no? Some, if you take a picture from with the inside the screen, it look funny like that, smoky pictures. I said, come on, shut up, don't say rubbish, this is. Subtle body cannot be photographed. Don't believe. Even if they have photographed, you don't need to believe it, okay? Don't need to worry about subtle body at all. And subtle body has no form, and but use the word subtle because it indwells the gross body. Therefore, we use the word subtle body. And subtle body consists of 16 factors, I said. And what are they? 5 sense powers. And I told you, not the physical part of the sense organs. You have to remember this. In English language, we don't differentiate like that. A sense organ means, generally we say sense organ. But we never think the physical part, the eyeball, the eyelids, all this is a physical part. This belongs to physical body. But when I say subtle body, I mean the seeing power. The physical part in Sanskritam is called Golakam. I wanted to know that name. Golakam. When I say five sense organs, I do not mean the physical part of the sense organs. This is called Golakam. This is some eardrum, the ear lobes are all Golakam. This big nose, sharp or blunt, okay? Flat nose or sharp nose. This physical part is what? Only Golakam. Tongue is what? 50 grams of flesh. Nothing but that Golakam. Skin is what? All body we have skin is what? Golakam. But the power of touch, the power of seeing, the power in every sense organ, every organ, the organ, the power of hearing, in all the Golakams are the five sense powers. Five powers of sense organs. Okay? Pulan Shakti. We should say. Understand now. In the Pulangal, if you say just the physical part, but Pulan Shakti, you should say Indriyam. So, Pancha Jnana Indriyani, five sense powers. Similarly, five sense powers and five powers of organs of action. What are the organs of action? Organ of speech, hands, legs, reproductory organ and excretory organ. Five. Is it clear? And these five organs of action, and also I said, then five physiological functions. Physiological functions, and which are known by the word pranaha, apanaha, vyanaha, samanaha, udanaha. Did they say all these things?
Yeah.
Okay. Five physiological functions, so 15, 5 plus 5 plus 5, 15, mm-hmm. And all these 15 are known to us. Therefore, because they are known, they also have to be negated as objects. If it is negated as objects of knowledge, they are what? Anatma. Therefore, I, the Atma, the Self, the Knower, am different from the known, what? Anatma, the subtle also. Only one factor is left behind, that is Antahkaranam. Say that?
Antahkaranam.
Antahkaranam means mind as such. But I told you, varieties of thoughts together constitute the Antahkaranam. And for our easy understanding, we are classifying the thoughts into four groups. As what? Manaha, Buddhihi, Chittam and Ahankaraha. And I told you about what are all the thoughts. We'll be seeing again in the following classes. Only just to prepare you now. So there are varieties of thoughts. Thoughts in Tamil we can say mana nilai, a state of mind. Yennam, thought modification. So some thoughts together form the mind, and some thoughts together called buddhi, intellect, and chitta means memory, and we also call ahankaraha, ego. And first I told you, see, you know, the emotional faculty is the mind, and intellectual faculty is buddhi, and we can say chittam, memory, okay, and we say ahankaraha means all the notions one has about oneself come under ahankara. They're all thoughts, and mainly any notion one can have about oneself only if there is knowledge that I am. Therefore, the knowledge that I am is also what?
Ahankara.
Thought. It's also thought. With that only ahankara is there. The knowledge that I am, and I am so-and-so, I am this, I am that, any notion one has about oneself, all those thoughts together form the ahankaraha. And all these are very well known. Mind also is known to you. Therefore, mind also is an object of knowledge. Therefore, mind also comes within the category of anatma. Therefore, I, the knower, am different from the anatma, the mind. Therefore, who am I now? I am the knower. I am the knower. Subject, purely subject. Therefore, who is this subject? Who is this knower? And I said, last class, this knower is pure consciousness. Shuddha Chaitanyam. We have another word, pure awareness. Or we can say, pure knowledge. We can use three words, okay? Better use consciousness, time being. We'll clear it later on. Then, I said, to understand this, and this prakriya, the method used here to distinguish the self from the non-self, to arrive at, to objectify, to negate everything as first as non-self, to know this object of knowledge, what is the method we used? Drik, Drishya, Viveka, Prakriya. Sol, Kara, old class. Last class. When I come to the new class now. Then, I said, we were going to see a new method today. Avastha Traya Prakriya. Say that. Avastha Traya Prakriya. Prakriya means what? Method of unfoldment or methodology or the method or you can say analysis. You can say that. Prakriya. So the analyzing the three states of experience. We have three states of experience. There is no fourth state of experience. So first we said Jagrat Avastha, waking state. And we have Swapna Avastha, dream state. And deep sleep state. It's called what? Deep sleep state. No, Sushupti Avastha.
We didn't give us these names last week.
No, last week
we
just started.
We said dream.
In English,
yes,
it is, but not
in
English.
You went
to Sanskrit.
Okay.
We didn't have the Sanskrit.
Okay, I said, maybe I had to tell you today. And we didn't want to give too much of Sanskrit, maybe. Okay, why I'm saying, it's only introduction, I'll be redoing the same thing with the textbook. Okay, now I'm preparing you for the textbook. And I'll give you the textbook and we'll start the class again. Then the same thing you'll be understanding elaborately. I tell you why. No? In Shastra teaching, in traditional teaching, the method is such. Always, subject matter has to be given briefly first. Then, what has been given briefly, initially, should be given elaborately. Again, after presenting subject matter elaborately, the whole subject matter which has been elaborated should be summed up and given again briefly. Only then the teacher is a good teacher, the teaching is good teaching. For what Shankaracharya says in his Bhashyam, no? Sulabha adhigamanartham, for easy comprehension. Okay, effortless, easy comprehension, Shastram presents it like that. If you take Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter is an epitome of the entire Gita. The whole Gita is given briefly in the second chapter. And the third chapter onwards, what has been briefly given, the entire Gita, brief Gita is what? Second chapter. Third to 17th elaboration of the same subject matter. Again, 18th chapter is a summary of what has been elaborately discussed from 3rd to the 17th. That is style. If we take any Upanishad, we can see the style. I am going to teach you all those things you will see in Sampradaya. It's all for clarity. There should not be any vagueness left behind. Similarly here, before we are going to see the subject matter elaborately in detail, where all the doubts you are storing up now will be cleared, okay? Now I had to give you in brief here. Actually, preparing for that elaborate classes. This is how I had to do. Even if you think, oh, I've already heard this, doesn't matter, you have to listen. That's how I'm going to say that. And here, okay. Jagrad avastha. Jagrad avastha. Jagrad avastha means waking state. Jagrad avastha. Then swapna avastha means dream state. Now which state is there for all of us?
Deep sleeping.
Last class, all of you were in different state, okay? That is why I had to shut the class. All of you were equally dull last class. I mean, I was very sleepy. And I thought teacher, I thought shishya. All of you were sleepy like that.
So, Swami, what is dream state?
Swapna avastha.
Two words, swapna, asatta.
Avastha. See, in Tamil we call it avasthai. Okay? Avasthai. Then they remove what is the name, avatthai they say. Avasthai. Okay? Avastha. Avastha.
Swapna avastha.
Swapna avastha. See, jagrad avastha, swapna avastha. Then sushupti avastha.
So all deep of them are
avastha. Avastha means what? State. Not Tamil avastai. Okay? The problem is, I tell you, you have no problem. Okay? Gujarati people, other people don't have. Tamil speaking people alone have a particular problem. See, the word kevalam, when it comes in Sanskritam, it means only. And here kevalam means very mean. Okay? Something very, it's not good meaning. And something of inferior order. Then the word avastha, avastha means a state. But avastha means suffering. In Tamil, avastha means suffering. That's the problem. Avastha, no, but here please don't take Tamil word meaning. Avastha means, avastha means a state. Just a state, nilai.
I was going to say, all of them are like in avastha.
Yeah. That is what I'm saying. Okay. That is why I didn't say in Sanskritam last class. Understand? Now I tell you. I know I can tell you easily. Avastha. Avastha means what? Avastha means state. Nilai. Okay? Avastha. So we have three states of experience. And these three states of experience are objectified, are perceived, are known, are experienced. When you say, we know there are three states of experience, what does it mean? The three states of experience you have means they have been experienced. The experience is possible only if it is experienced. And without the experiencer, no experience is possible. Understand? Therefore, the waking state, what is the waking state? Waking state, the mind is fully active and all the senses are awake and the perception takes place and the knowledge that I am is there, the knowledge that the universe is there. That is waking state. Understand? Waking state. And in waking state, you know you are, you know the universe is, you know the perception is taking place, you know you know things, you do things consciously. So therefore, waking state is known to you. Similarly, dream state also is known to you. Why? Whatever you see and hear, you do during the waking state, and you collect lot of impressions. You store things in your mind and whatever has been heard or seen, experienced, perceived during the waking state today or yesterday or some other times or even previous lives, okay? Something which might have got stored which is collected and you can dream. So you also have dream once in a while, occasionally, not every day. Every day regularly I dream. You do dream?
Okay.
Even when I go in the tube dozing off, I dream.
Okay.
You're not dreaming here now. Yeah.
So what I'm saying, this is the dream state. And then dream also is known. Dream experience is known. Because there is experience. When I say the very word experience implies what? It is experienced. Because, no, it's experienced. And you can wake up next day morning, you can narrate what all you had dreamt. Because sometimes the dream is not clear. Also, you can say the dream was not clear. That means what? The clear dream, vivid dream, or the unclear dream, any dream you are able to say, that means the dream also is known. That's another state of mind. What is the difference between dream state and the waking state? In dream state, mind is half awake, half asleep. Partially awake, partially asleep. But in waking state, mind is fully awake, active. And in deep sleep state, mind is totally inactive, completely passive. That is why no thought rises. When you say no thought rises, the knowledge that I am is not there. The knowledge that the universe is not there. There is no sukham, there is no dukkham, there is no desire, there is no anger, there is no jealousy, there is no hatred, no emotion, no knowledge. No emotion, no knowledge, no experience. But no experience, okay? The non-experience is experienced. You can never say, I sleep. The verb sleep can never be used in present tense with first person singular pronoun. You can say, she is sleeping, he is sleeping, he sleeps, she sleeps. You can say that. And of course you can say, I slept also you can say. I sleep. You can, this verb, present tense verb, sleep, can never be used with first person singular pronoun, I sleep. If you say, I sleep, that means you are not asleep. And remain, no, I sleep. If you say, that means as a different problem. And we have to seek Sukhasyamma's help with somebody else's help. Or we have to go to some other person, okay? Immediately we can't we send the person walk alone to back home, okay? We arrange some conveyance or somebody has to take home and then do what necessary things. You can never say, I sleep. Why? Because you never know. Not to say, because when there is, when you are asleep, even the knowledge that I am is not there. That is when there is sleep. Irikkiren endra arivu kooda irukkadu. The knowledge that I am also is not there. Always you can wake up from sleep and you can say, I slept. This one verb is very peculiar, okay? You can never say that. So, the knowledge that I am also is not there. And here one small thing. In deep, in waking state, irikkiren endra arivu irikkirathu. The knowledge that I am is. In deep sleep state, the knowledge that I am is not. I am. In waking state, I am. In deep sleep state also, I am. But what is not there is the knowledge. Similarly, in waking state also universe exists. In deep sleep state also universe exists. But what is not there is the knowledge that the universe is there in waking state. But the knowledge that the universe is not there in deep sleep state. Understand? So when this knowledge that the universe is not there, we call it what? Knowledge is unmanifest. Understand? When you say knowledge is unmanifest, we can also say ignorance, total ignorance. When there is total ignorance, the knowledge that I am being not there, the knowledge that the universe is not there, then we say there is total ignorance. But nothing was there, there was only total ignorance. But the total ignorance is experienced. That is why when you wake up from sleep, you can say, there was no knowledge that I was, there was no knowledge that the universe was, therefore, that is known to you. How do you say that there was no knowledge? For you to say that there was no knowledge that I was, there is no knowledge that the universe was, that means that something must have been there, experiencing the knowledge being not there. In deep sleep state, there is something because of the presence of which the knowledge being not there is known. Arivu illadhu valangudilla. Ulam irikkiradhengra arivu illengiradhu valangudilla. Therefore, there is something. Therefore, the deep sleep state also is what? Experienced. Therefore, there is an experience of the deep sleep state. Therefore, there is also an experiencer. And that experiencer is the same experiencer in waking, the same experiencer in the dream, the same experiencer in the deep sleep state. That is why we say that experiencer is the Atma, the consciousness. So that which is there, like the fourth person witnessing the three states of experience, now is said to be what? Turiyaha. So we use the word Turiyaha. Turiyaha means fourth. Nalamal. Is Atma fourth person or what? Not the fourth person, but like the fourth person. See, Atma, like the fourth person, is there in all three states of experiences, experiencing, one who is there as the, like the fourth person. Like the fourth person, witnessing. Witnessing means what? Knowing. All the three states of experience without undergoing any change is the Atma. For experiencer is the Atma, the consciousness. Turiyaha. So don't it really, Turiyaha means nothing, it means a fourth. But don't say Atma is a fourth person. People talk about Aturiya, Turiya, Turiya, Nilai, all confusions. Okay? Turiyaha means fourth. And fourth means what? Atma is not the fourth. Like the fourth person, one who is there in all the three states of experience, witnessing the three states of experience without undergoing any change, is called Turiyaha. Therefore, now by analyzing the first, through the subject-object analysis, who distinguished the self from the non-self. Thereafter, by analyzing the three states of experience, also we understand the knower, the experiencer in all the three states of mind is the consciousness. Then, last class, where I left you was, the consciousness I said, knower is consciousness. Remember this. I said, knower is consciousness. Consciousness is never the known. Okay? Consciousness is always the knower. Even if you understand consciousness, then you can say consciousness is known as the knower, not as the known. Understand? Consciousness is always understood as the subject of knowledge, not as an object of knowledge. And I said, so consciousness, can we say consciousness is the knower? I said, we cannot say. Why? Because, first, for the sake of understanding, I said consciousness is the knower. Thereafter, I said, we can say knower is consciousness, but it is not right to say consciousness is the knower. Why? Because knowing is not an action of the consciousness. It is the swarupam. Remember, I told you last class. It is a very subtle thing. That's why I am repeating it today. Knowing is the swarupam of the consciousness. Aridal parampurulin swarupam. Tanmai. I guess example of light. Remember this? When I say light is, and light illumines all the opaque objects in this room. If the light is not, these opaque objects cannot be seen. Understand? Therefore, what is that which illumines all these objects is the illuminator of the objects. Okay? Like the eater of food, runner, walker, like that. One who does the job, one who teaches is teacher. One who sees is the seer. One who walks is the walker. One who runs is the runner. So one who illumines is the illuminator. We can say that. But here, when you say one who walks is the walker, one who runs is the runner, one who talks is the talker, one who sees is the seer, that is an action. Therefore you can say. But here, I can say illuminator is the light, but still I cannot say light is the illuminator. Why? Because illumination or illumining is not an action. Sayal alla adan sorupam. Vilanga chaidal uliyin sayal alla sayal uliyin sorupam. Illumining is not an action. It is illumining is the swarupam, nature of the light. Why? Light does not do any action, does not make any effort, does not think, how am I going to illumine this? And then afterwards does some work to illumine. No. Just light is. Light is oli irikkirathu. Light is, all the objects come to light. All the objects become illumined. All the objects shine. Oli irundal porulgal vilanguhindrana. Understand? Light does not do any action to illumine the. Therefore, illumining is what? Not an action, but the swarupam. If it is the swarupam, if it is not an action, if it is an action, I can say light is the illuminator. Because it is not an action, it is the swarupam. Instead of saying light is the illuminator, I say for a change, illuminator of all the objects is the light. Just to make it, why? It is not an action. Why should I say illuminator is the light? Other than light, there is no other illuminator. That is why I have to say that. Similarly, is consciousness the knower? If I say, no, consciousness is not the knower, but the knower is none other than consciousness. Why do I have to say that? Because to know the mind, to know the deep sleep state mind, to know the dream state, understand? to know the waking state, does consciousness do any action? No. Consciousness is mind shines, mind comes to light. Deep sleep state is known. Like light is here, sofa is known. Color of this timepiece is known. Similarly, consciousness is deep sleep state is known. Consciousness is dream is known. Consciousness is waking is known. The mind undergoes changes. The states of experience change. From one state to another state, mind changes. But consciousness is simply there knowing. If it is, see, what does the light do? The color, it is here, light illumines. If it is not there, still it illumines what? The absence. Understand? Similarly, consciousness is all the three states are experienced. Therefore, we say knowing or experiencing is not an action, it is the swarupam. That is why, understand now? Other than consciousness, there is no other knower. Therefore, knower is consciousness. But we never say consciousness is the knower. Why? It is the swarupam. Now, please understand, this is the first thing you have to know. Knowing is the swarupam of consciousness. Knowing, knowledge. That is why in any literature, if you take in all our literature, in all the languages of India, we say Bhagavan is Jyoti Swarupaha. In all of our literature, any religious literature take, everywhere it's always praised, Bhagavan is Jyoti Swarupaha. Why? Knowing is Swarupam. Understand? Now I tell you, I want to tell you one small thing here. See, knowledge is always likened to, the light is always, we say the knowledge and light are always talked together. Knowledge is always likened to the light. Know why? Because, listen carefully, if there is darkness here, utter darkness, if we walk in, we will not know what object is kept where. And we will walk in darkness, we will not know where things are, and we will not know how to place our foot correctly, and we'll know, even if we can't put all of somewhere, we will place our foot wrongly, and then we will stumble upon things, we will fall, and we will break the object, also break our knees and joints. We'll have fractures. But if there is light, even if the objects are there, even too many things are there, still things will be there. You will place your leg very carefully where things are not. In light, things fall in their place. You know where to place your foot, how not to stumble upon things, how not to break, not to cause any damage. Now you'll be very, you can comfortably walk even amidst a heap of things if there is light. It'll be easy. Isn't it? It won't be difficult. There's the difference in light, in the presence of light, you see where things are. That is why always knowledge is likened to the light. If you know in the light of knowledge, you can understand things correctly. When you in the darkness of ignorance, you cannot understand why things are, what is happening. It's a problem. Always likened to the light. And here, in the consciousness, the nature of the consciousness being pure knowledge. Okay? Just presence of consciousness is there, everything is known. Minus consciousness, no knowledge is possible. Because the consciousness is knowledge takes place. Why? Knowing is it? Swarupam. Knowing is its swarupam. And here, one more thing we say here. Suppose this, if there is darkness everywhere here, we cannot see. And that's why these objects which cannot shine by themselves are said to be opaque objects. Opaque in nature. Why? They do not come to light by themselves. That means they are always dependent on some other light. Listen, one more thing I am telling you here. These objects cannot come to light by themselves. They are dependent on some other light. If the light is, these objects come to light. And the next question comes, okay, these objects do not shine by themselves. They are dependent on, they shine after this light. When you can see the light and this opaque object, you don't need another light to see whether the light is there or not. You don't need to bring a similar light. And Shastra says, no, these opaque objects shine after that light, but that light also is dependent on some other light. Not the similar light. You don't need to bring a torchlight from inside to see whether this light is there or not. But imagine, if our eyes are not there, this light would have been as good as non-existent. Inda oli irundalum illada madhiri. It would have been as good as non-existent if eyes are not there. Okay? Suppose seeing, for the person who is born blind, he can never understand. No braille method can help him understand what the object called light is. There are many people used through braille method who become great, highly informed people, highly, you know, educated people. There are many people I heard about. But one thing they can never understand, what is that? Light. The born blind person, the people who had some seeing power for some time and who became blind in between the middle, they know what light is. The born blind person who wouldn't have seen the light at all in one's life, they can never understand the object called light. That means what? Even this light also is dependent on some other light to come to light. If this object is not illumined, this means not this so far, I'm saying any of the opaque objects here. All these opaque objects, if they are not illumined, they cannot be seen. Their presence cannot be known. If it is not known, it is as good as non-existent. If an object is not known, even if the object is, it is as good as non-existent. ஒரு பொருள் அறியப்படாத போது அது இருந்தாலும் இல்லாத மாதிரி. If it is not known, it is as good as non-existent. Isn't it? The object is not known, it's as good as non-existent. Therefore, for this object to be known, see, there is sofa. Okay, there is a wooden statue. There is a picture. What is the evidence? What is the proof? We see. Okay? But for us to know, there is a picture. There is a picture. What is the evidence? What is the proof? Because I know. I see. Can you see if the light is not there? No. Therefore, all these opaque objects, which do not shine by themselves, which are dependent on light, the shine after this light. And we say, hey, this light, from the standpoint of the opaque object, light is self-luminous. Listen carefully. Light is self-luminous. Opaque objects are not self-luminous. They shine after the other light. Isn't it? Why do you say self-luminous? They don't need another light. From the standpoint of the opaque objects, they are self-luminous. Tame vilangi, idu sarandu vilangi. But the light also, from the standpoint of eyes, this light also, what? Shines after some other light. It does not shine by itself. Isn't it true? If the eye seeing power is not there, the light is as good as non-existent. What is the evidence? What is the evidence that there is light? What is the proof that there is light? Seeing power. Isn't it? Therefore, we say light is the light which lights up the opaque objects. But from the standpoint of my eyes, eyes are the light which lights up the light. Oliyeyum olirach seigira oli kannoli. Understand? So the objects, opaque objects shine after this light, but this light, no, shines after my eyes. Therefore, evidence for opaque objects, evidence is the light. Understand? Evidence means what? Light is, therefore I can see in the light, the color, etc. Suppose it is utter darkness, I say this is blue color. Will you believe? If I say this is blue in color, you cannot see that anything. You cannot see color at all. What is the proof? I see, there is also light, in the light I see. Therefore proof, there is light. Light is, what is the evidence? My seeing power. Now I say, you have seeing power. Seeing power is, I can see. What is the proof? My eyes can see. How do you say there is light? I see. How do you say that your eyes can see? I know my eyes can see. So mind, the knowledge that you can see is the proof, evidence for your seeing power. So what is the light which lights up the sense organ?
Mind.
I tell you, sometimes there may be bright light, not in winter, okay, in summer time. Bright sun is occasionally seen in London, and then when you are walking on the roadside, and then I see Yashoda, and I call Yashoda. Yashoda just walks just opposite to me. She knows me very well, I know her very well, we've been good friends for quite some time, but she's so preoccupied one day, and then she just walked just in front of me, dashed also. She saw me, she cannot miss me because I am wearing orange, bright orange color. So many dresses, very bright color. And I dashed her and walked. And she didn't even see me. She saw me. She looked at me, but she did not see me. She was not sleeping. She was not walking, closing her eyes. She was not blind. She has very clear, proper vision. A very good sight. And there was also bright sun. She saw, she looked at me, but she didn't see me. Why? Object was there, light was there, she was also not blind, dashed also, still she didn't say hello to me. Oh my God, I was looking, oh why, Yashoda, she didn't even hear, and she doesn't even say hello to me, she just walked away. And when I saw her next time, what happened to you this morning? You were walking and I dashed upon you and then you didn't even say hello to you. I spoke to you. Did I see you? That means what?
Mind.
She was so preoccupied with something else. Mind was not there with the sense organ. Therefore, eyes were open. Light was there, bright sunny day, which was also advertised in paper, okay, bright sunny day in London. Still that day, that day, if you can say some winter time, we can miss people because we can't see anything here. 4 o'clock. After 4 you can't see anything here. But you know, that particular day, and then why mind is not, that's not okay. Okay, mind is there. No, I'm saying for people like me, I'm little. Okay, for me, I'm saying you all have bright eyes. Okay, what I'm saying is, if you don't see, means what is that? You're not blind. Attention of the mind has to back up the sense organ. Only then the perception can take place. Only then the objects can get registered, knowledge can take place. Therefore, understand? So what is that light? Then he says, oh, I'm sorry, I did not see you. You did see me. When I looked at you, I might have looked at you, I didn't see you. That means what? That means she knew. Okay? She did not know. That means what? She didn't see. Therefore, mind is the light which lights up the sense organ. Understand? Light now. We have to go light after light now. And we say, what is the light? Okay? And you say, you did not know. You didn't see. Where were you? Oh, I was so preoccupied. I'm sorry. I didn't see you at all. I don't know. I didn't see you at all. You're walking, I didn't see you. Well, I was walking. This morning when I was walking, my mind was all my department, economics department, some project. I had to discuss with how to manage the boys and girls there. Something I was thinking in the class, about the class. So she knew exactly where her mind was, where her mind was not. So why she could not really pick up what was there on the... She could not see anything on the road. That means what? There is something which knows the mind. The knower of the mind, the consciousness, is the light which lights up the mind. So every object and... Suppose to know you are, what light do you need? Tell me. Do you want any other light to know you are? To know there is an object, you need light. Okay? To know there is light, you need a light. What is the light? Light is the light which lights up the opaque object. And eyes are the light which lights up the light. And mind is the light which lights up the sense organ, understand? And consciousness is the light which lights up the mind. And what is the light which lights up the consciousness? To know something is, I am dependent on something else. Understand what I am saying? So, that's why we say, what is the light which lights up the consciousness? To know consciousness is, you don't need anything else. No way. To know you are, do you need any other light? Come on, please bring one light from inside, torch light or candlelight from inside to know whether I am here. Do you want? You don't need. Even in darkness, if you happen to eat, in India, as we are eating, suddenly the power cut will be, because we have a lot of power cuts, then the lights will get put off. Immediately, somebody will light on some other light lamp, okay? Until we get the power comes back for half an hour, 10 minutes, we have power cut. If you are eating, the hand will not go to nose or ear, no? It goes straight, even in darkness, the hand will go correctly to the mouth. But just because it is dark. The hand may go somewhere where the food is. But once to put food is picked up, the hand will go correctly to the mouth. Like that, even if it is total darkness, I am here. Please walk carefully. Don't walk on me. Say that. No way. I am. I know I am. To know I am, I do not need any light. I'm not dependent on any extra source of light. To know I am, I do not depend upon any other light. Why? I'm self-evident. Please understand now, for opaque objects, light is the evidence. Understand? To know the presence or the existence of an opaque object, light is the evidence. To know the existence of the light, eyes are the evidence. To know the existence of the seeing power, mind is the evidence. To know the existence of the mind, consciousness is the evidence. To know the existence of consciousness, consciousness is the evidence. Okay? And consciousness is available for understanding as what? As the meaning of the word I. Therefore, I am the self-evident self, and everything else is evident to me, whereas I am self-evident. Is it clear? Don't say to know whether I am here or not. I don't need any evidence to know I am. But everything in this world, to be known, it needs what? Evidence. So, the light, opaque object is evident, light is evidence. Light is evident, eyes are the evidence. Eyes seeing power is the evident, mind is the evidence. Mind is the evident, consciousness is the evidence. I am evidence. I am the evidence. How do you know the mind was not there? I knew my mind. I know my mind. Therefore, I am evidence. Mind is evident. And I am, what is the evidence? I am, what is the evidence? I am the evidence. Understand? I am evident to me. That is why ulikkellam uli. Understand? So what is the concept of light now? What is the light? What do you mean by the word light? Light means what? That which lights up. That which brings things to light. That which illumines. Therefore, consciousness, which is of the nature of knowing, is likened to the light, not like this light, as good as the light, understand now, which lights up the mind, thereby the senses, thereby the external objects. Similarly, consciousness has to be with the mind, and the mind has to be with all the senses. And all the sense objects are illumined. Eye seeing power illumines the light. Hearing power illumines the sound. Okay, smelling power illumines the smell. Taste, power of taste illumines the taste. Power of touch illumines the touch, object of touch. All the five different objects are illumined by five different lights. What are they? Five different senses are said to be five different lights which illumine their respective objects. And mind is the light which illumines all the five different lights. And consciousness is the only light which illumines the light of mind. So, really speaking, that's why people talk about the word light. In fact, that's why people say, oh, in meditation I see the light. Don't believe it. Understand now? People, how people go wrong? Oh, in meditation I see the red color light coming up. I see some blue light here. I see some sort of yellow and green mixed lights. I tell you, all fancy ideas. Fantasy, okay? Don't believe it. If they see any light, they have a problem. No light. There's no real light. Understand now? I got it? This all the wrong ideas from the mind have to go away.
People imagining it.
It's all, they don't know what is meditation. They don't know what they're doing. Somebody says something, you keep on saying, I tell you, I see this. See, we don't see, I tell you, look at this, an elephant here. Look at this, elephant. If I make you 100 times, I make you sit in a dark room, the lights, music, I'll make you see this, and you'll go out and say, yes, we all saw elephant in Swami's hand. Okay, it's a cock and bull story, you can develop. It's all sort of confusing. Now, if you become slave for other person's things, don't think. Swayam, Swakiya Chintanam is not there. Understand? That is why Shastram systematically goes, it helps you understand all these things. That is why be in the class itself will slowly will become meditation. You will be meditative in the very class. You don't need some pressure like there's something doing and picking up headaches. Okay? Anyway, now you want to understand this knowledge, consciousness is the substance of the substantive I. Consciousness is the subject. Consciousness is the subject, available for understanding as the subject, as the knower. We say, without consciousness, no knowing is possible. Therefore, we say, knower is consciousness. Actually speaking, when you say knower is consciousness, we do not mean knowing as an action on the part of consciousness. Knowing is the very sarupam of consciousness. Therefore, we say consciousness is the very meaning of the word I. The word I, the self, am the consciousness. Okay? And knowing is sarupam. To know I am not dependent on anything else. I know I am. Okay? The self is self-evident. Whereas everything else needs to be known. Only when it becomes evident to me, it is existent. If it is not known, it is as good as non-existent. Isn't it? Therefore, we understand the whole jagat. Let it be vast and big. However big the universe is, this universe is known only in 5 different forms, as 5 different objects. Let it be very big. So what? Big universe. Incomprehensibly vast universe. So what? Only Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha. Only touch, form, color, light, sound, smell, taste. That's all. The whole jagat, how much ever you know in the world, you know all of them through 5 different senses. And any subtle facts you discover, you infer, also based on the perception only. Therefore, and all this, the whole jagat is dependent on the senses for their existence. Understand? Jagat cannot be known if the senses are not there. Understand? Therefore, for the jagat to have the status of being the known, to become existent. Jagat is existent. Jagat is. When can you say? Only when you see it, when you know that. Therefore, for the universe to be existent, for its existence, it is dependent on the senses. And senses are dependent on the mind, and mind is dependent on you. Okay? You means what? The consciousness. And consciousness is not dependent on anything. Therefore, consciousness is self-existent. Okay? Anatma, including the entire universe, which is inclusive of the Anatma. The entire universe is Anatma. Entire Anatma means universe is inclusive of your mind, your senses, your pranas, your physical body. Understand? Now say audible sense is what now? Dependent on the Atma. Understand? Consciousness is self-existent. I'll come back and talk to you next class. Just a little bit think. This conscious knowing is the Swarupam. This has to be there in your mind. Knowing is the Swarupam of consciousness. That one thing is enough today.